Come in.
Okay, ready.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees, March the 5th, 2012. It is 6:49.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez? Mrs. Searles?
Here.
Do you want me to read the agenda item?
Sure.
Okay, item 2A is issues relating to board governance policies. Ms. Ayler?
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go through some of these B section policies.
Let me go get it for you.
They're not the entire rule. The entire rule is kind of high touch on some of these. I'm going to go through some of them, not all of them. Of course, if you're ever needing to sleep 8 at night, you can certainly take this out and read it. I'm sure you'll be asleep pretty quickly. But still information, it would be good for you to know. Policy BAA, legal. This is regarding powers and duties by the board. The most important piece that I want you all to just know about and be aware of, collaboration with the superintendent. That sixth item listed is straight from the ed code for you all to know what the board and superintendent are expected by law to work together toward and work together on. BBC, legal. Vacancies and removal from office. At the top of page 2, if a vacancy occurs on the board, the remaining members of the board may fill the vacancy by appointment until the next regular board election, or may order a special election to fill the vacancy for the unexpired term. Keep that in mind. Just something to know. Regarding resignation, surprisingly, the board may not refuse to accept a resignation unless they're toward the middle of page 2. That seems like something that would be common sense, but I have had districts that have said that their board did not want to accept one of the board members' resignation. Turns out that you can't do that. If a trustee submits a resignation, whether it be effective immediately or at a future date, a vacancy occurs on the day the resignation is accepted by the board or on the 8th day after the date of its receipt by the board, whichever is earlier. Holdover doctrine. All public officers shall continue to perform the duties of their offices until their successors shall be duly qualified, in essence, sworn in. So even if you have a successor who has been elected or they won the election, they have not succeeded their predecessor until they are formally sworn in.
I want to say he's also Tony Ford.
He's coming back. He wants to speak.
BBE, local, looking at the middle of page 3. This is talking about a board member's inherent right of access to records maintained by the district. I'm going to draw your attention to the provision of limitations. Individual members shall not have access to confidential student records unless the member is acting in his or her official capacity and has a legitimate educational interest in the records and employment policies at Bell Legal and Loan Board. So a legitimate educational interest is not that you want to know what your daughter's new boyfriend is up to or what his grades look like. Just keep that in mind.
That was a local rule.
That's a specialized policy.
That's a unique policy.
One of our unique policies.
We have a list of what legitimate educational interests are, and we're including that one. At the top of page 4, CBG legal. Go figure, board members shall serve without compensation, I'm sorry to tell you. You shall not be getting a raise anytime soon. And in the local, an excerpt from a local policy, documentation required. For any authorized expense incurred, the board member shall submit a statement with the receipts to the extent feasible, documenting actual expenses and in accordance with procedures applicable to employee expense reimbursement. So what that means is that the paper trail is important because you are publicly elected officials. Just keep in mind, if you do any kind of per diem program, like for your meals, just keep in mind that if you travel like to Austin for TASB convention and you have an Aunt Dolly that lives in Austin and you go to his house for dinner or some of your meals and you pocket the money, that could be construed as a gift of public funds, okay? Just keep that in mind. That sounds strange, but believe it or not, I have had, board members that have said, ate at a family member's house and they've, kept their per diem money. So just keep that in mind. The extent, as much as you possibly can, to the extent feasible, provide receipts. It's always a good idea. BBAA local. This is your policy regarding legal requirements of board officers. Normally, your local policy would state that in the event of the incapacity of the president, where the president is no longer able to perform his or her duty, the law gives you a choice in that the district, the office of the board, can then determine that the vice president automatically becomes president if a vacancy in that office occurred, or would only become president upon being elected to the position, which would mean that the board would elect a new president and then it would reorganize. But your local policy doesn't make any statement to that effect as to which one you guys would do. Do y'all have any idea what your preference would be? If there's a vacancy or incapacitation of the president, would you want your vice president to just automatically become president? Or would you want to be able to elect a new president and reorganize the board? Any opinions?
Either or situation.
And don't you think that it's going to take care of itself either way?
Well, and the idea, I mean, the law does prefer that you have a statement of local policy that says which one you're going to do. You know, if you're going to, it is going to take care of itself either way, but it's also to give direction to the board as to, okay, well, what do we do now? Do we just let the vice president automatically become president? Or do we,
can we
vote
say,
for somebody new?
Can we have both?
Yeah.
Say, upon, you know, the, what is it, incapacity?
Mm-hmm. Or vacancy in the office of the board.
That the vice president immediately becomes the president until the board elects anyone.
Okay.
Unless the board elects anyone.
Either way, so it leaves the door open.
Okay.
That way we can do both. Mm-hmm. And have somebody be able to deal with things immediately if mm-hmm. there is a need. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you can reorganize right away. After the next meeting, we could decide to do another election. In other words, just have one.
Or you could do it unless, and then they could just say, okay, we'll appoint the treasurer. Does it bump up, like the secretary becomes the vice president?
It depends on how you reorganize. I mean, at that point, you would reorganize.
You'd take care of it at the next meeting, so there's no need to put all this other stuff in the policy.
Right, no. I mean, if you want to clarify, that would be something that would go into board operating procedures, to be specific, to say, everybody who's at the spot. Okay. 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 Middle of page 5, BE legal. That's your policy on board meetings. At the bottom of page 5, it describes an emergency meeting, when you call an emergency meeting. An emergency or urgent public necessity exists only if immediate action is required because of an imminent threat to public health and safety or a reasonably unforeseeable situation.
Changing the color of the eye of the eagle on the basketball court count?
There, not an emergency.
There, local folks.
We can we to post? I know we extended it like to 3 days, but we could do it to 2 days, right?
No, because you have to have at least 72 hours to be compliant with Open Meetings Act.
Was
it?
It
has to be posted at least 72 hours before.
But is ours 74 or is it more than that?
72.
No, it's 72 by law. It's required. It has to be at least 72 hours.
Okay.
By law.
Oh, well, I remember one time we were looking at it and I was like, give me more dates. I wanted to have it.
I think you guys had one of the policies we're going to go over tomorrow as far as your agenda deadline goes. I think y'all have more than 72 hours.
Yeah, that's what
I think you have more.
Okay, just put that on. Yeah.
You're interested in
I think we're okay.
Lessening that? I don't know how many days y'all have. How many days y'all require for your agenda deadline? Your agenda deadline is noon of the 6th calendar day before regular meetings and noon of the 3rd calendar day before special meetings. So you're wanting to do less than 6 for a regular meeting?
Do y'all want to do it less than 6?
Well, let's see. We do it on Tuesdays, right? So we're talking
You post on Friday.
We could do noon before the 3:00.
I mean, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday.
For the 6:00, that's
Friday. So it's Thursday is the deadline, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually,
we don't do that.
Tony would. It's very hard to get all the information to put together.
We post on Friday.
They post on Friday, but her deadline is
calendar before.
Yeah, my deadline is actually Wednesday, but we get it on Friday.
That's what I'm saying, because I know we had it more. But we're not.
But if something is running, but they need to react to it. If something is running, but
right.
needs to be fixed, not us.
But we need to fix it to where it's 5th day, not 6th.
Okay.
If so that's legal.
Yeah, so long as you're meeting the 72 hours
yeah.
of the, yes, yeah. So if y'all want to make it the 5th day.
I mean, that's when we post. We post Friday evening.
Okay.
That's real hard from a practical standpoint.
Well, we're always in compliance with the 72 hours.
Yeah,
and
right, but you do have to have
in other words,
you have to have
your cabinet should have everything to you by noon.
By noon. Yeah. We actually request by noon on the Wednesday before Friday that we post. But it just doesn't always happen that way. So we do have those deadlines in place.
Yeah, the deadlines for submission is different than the posting.
Than the posting itself.
Right.
Yeah.
The posting right. has to be by law.
The posting has to be 72 hours before, which is why you can't make them do the deadline, you know, 2 days before. Because that's still violating the 72 hours of posting.
I don't know. What time do you guys need to have the agenda ready by really Friday morning or noon.
Right.
It's when
you don't want that to be the deadline. So either you want the deadline to be Friday morning sometime or Thursday noon.
Why does City Hall like do an amendment? You could do an amendment even 8 hours before.
Well, there are rules that govern city government is different than what others. School
districts. Okay.
Yeah, amendments still have to be posted.
Administration would ask for 5 days prior instead of 6.
Okay. So is that what y'all want to put in the policy?
But that's what we do.
That's
our current practice.
Is that okay?
So by what? By noon?
Noon Friday. Well, the posting of it is usually in the afternoon on Friday when we're working together to finalize.
But what she's talking about is not posting.
Deadline to for others to submit.
Oh, yeah, we have that on Wednesday.
Deadline to submit.
Yeah, submit on Wednesday, and then we.
So leave it at 6.
Oh, are we talking about deadline to post or deadline to submit? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, great. I apologize. I had them backwards.
You want it the way we said
yeah. it? Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, we went back.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Sometimes when we get our packet, there are changes to the agenda. Right. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No,
we'll get our packet.
Then?
We'll get a packet, and then when the actual meeting comes, then, you know, an agenda item or two have been added. And I assume, I'm pretty sure they meant 72 hours.
Yeah, that's sometimes on the rare occasion that we get your packet out at 4 o'clock, and if we receive another agenda item or something that needs to be added, we'll certainly add it before going home that day, or certainly within the 72 hours.
So, yeah, I mean, the biggest part of that is so long as, you know, what's posted, what's going to be
right.
discussed on the agenda is posted, meaning the 72 hours for the Open Meetings Act. So that may be a matter of if there are changes to the agenda, that may be like an internal, you know, procedural thing, where if they make changes to the agenda, perhaps if they have time to give you guys a revised packet, that may be, that's more of an issue for you guys to be able to write, more of an internal be notified thing, because it's not violating the Open Meetings Act or anything of that nature.
The addendum, how many hours before?
72. It's the same.
So they have
it posted
again.
Mm-hmm.
72 for
it. 72
no matter
what. So if you post
them,
you need
an agenda. You can post them Saturday.
And that's one of the reasons that a lot of districts make their agenda deadline like the 6th or 7th day before, because they want to kind of give that Two or three day leeway if somebody wants to add something.
Right. Like we had a situation with the GIS. On Friday, you got your packet. A board member said, wait a minute, there's something missing. We were able to add it on Saturday.
Yeah, because you have that leeway, and it's still falling within the 72 hours.
Yeah.
Local, that's in middle of page 7. That's just your local policy on public participation, talking about public participation in board meetings. Contrary to popular belief, there is no requirement for there to be a public commentary in board meetings. A lot of people think that's a legal requirement. It's actually not. It's considered to be best practice to do so that you have good relationships with your community. BJA legal at the bottom, that just is the policy that governs qualifications and duties of the superintendent. And then on the back of page 8, the very last policy is BP local. You have a policy governing administrative regulations. The second to last paragraph, administrative regulations are subject to board review but shall not be adopted by the board. It's not to say that we don't want you guys to know what's going on when they change regulations. It's just to say that they shouldn't be, that they're not to be adopted. So what I suggest that districts do is anytime the administrators make a change to a regulation, form, or anything of that nature, to list it as an information item on your agenda. And then that way, you know, if you're getting it, you've got the information, and then if you guys have a problem with it or you have some kind of issue or questions, then that way you're made aware of it. You know what's ongoing. You're aware that there have been changes to the regulations.
Then
it's not like you're in the dark.
Shouldn't we add some language in the...
No, I mean, because you don't necessarily have language about how you post anything else on your agenda.
Are we talking about the administrative regulations? Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to be approved by the board, right? But we should be notified?
Not to be adopted.
Adopted.
Yeah, it says that they are subject to board review. So board review would be an information item on your agenda.
And with that, so if you said they've got to follow policy, they can't
right.
just strike out and be their own.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then, you know, your administrator is changing a regulation as the district change. It's not them, you know, scoffing on local policy. I'll give you an example. One of my coworkers used to be a teacher in a little district outside of Boston. Years ago, do you remember the little tennis shoes that came out at Christmas with the wheels?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All the elementary school kids came back to school with those shoes. And a number of them fell at school, and one of them cracked their head open because they were using shoes. Well, the elementary school principal sent an addendum to the student handbook home at the end of that first week of school back after Christmas vacation and said, kids are not going to be allowed to wear their shoes at school anymore. The reason that worked was because if that had been something that had been adopted, if the student handbook had been adopted, they would have had to wait another month. And they were thinking, oh God, how many kids could have been hurt? You know, that was one of the situations where they saw a need. They didn't want any kids getting hurt, running around, you know, rolling around on slick concrete and falling and getting hurt. That's a good example of having that flexibility. So it's not that they don't want you guys to be informed of what is changing in regulations. That's why I think the information item on your agenda works. You have it for board review. If it's an information item, they can keep, you know, a copy of what they've changed to show it to you. And you guys are kept in the loop. Okay? And that's it. Do you have any other questions? Okay, that's it.
And we'll see you back when you come back.
No, that is going to be left up to Martha and Bella.
Okay.
Summary to you, that will go to them. Yeah, I'll email it to Martha with them. There you go.
You're
welcome. Let's see, by May I'll be out north of Longview. So.
During executive, is that okay? This is part of the special meeting. She just did this,
so
and now
Pam
we're doing
had nothing on here.
Pam has the third meeting instruction.
Oh, there's a third meeting.
There's a third meeting. Instruction committee after this.
Okay, we've moved destinations here. I was going to say we're missing somebody, but it's you, Dr. Murphy, and you're
right,
down there.
Side.
Okay.
Item C is discussion and possible action regarding CPAC recommendation to pursue bond project management by outside entity.
President Searles, board members, audience, we come before you tonight. Sorry. We have Ron here, of course, who not only is our purchasing agent, but also serves on CPAC. And we have Mr. Al Flores, a diligent member of our CPAC committee. And on Thursday night, the CPAC made their first major recommendation. It was a vote, a second, and a unanimous vote. I did write a Friday packet on the in a couple spots about it. And I'll turn it over to them to explain it. We can talk from there.
Board President Searles, board members, Dr. Murphy. We did have our meeting the other day. Each of our first committee meeting, we split up into three different groups. One was the finance, one's projects, and one is construction. Each of those groups picked a separate day, and we actually met and we discussed what we thought the issues were and what we needed to do, what information we needed to make good decisions, you know, and all that. And then we all came back together last week, and we gave a report of what our findings were, what we felt we needed to be a good committee and be able to come to you with good information. And it surprised me, and I think it surprised everybody, that almost all three groups came up with almost the identical answers to what we needed or what we were looking for. And all three committees came up saying that I think that we need help, that our people that we have, Dr. Ernesto, was probably going to need help with this. It's like he's got his normal budget that he works with as far as maintaining the schools and everything else, and then we've got this other tier of construction and projects that are going to be on top of that. So we felt that he was going to definitely need help to get these projects going and keep everything online and on schedule. So Mr. Flores is also, you are on the construction with here.
That's correct. Board President Searles, board members, Dr. Murphy, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to you this evening. And first of all, I'd like to thank you all for putting that CPAC committee together and allowing community members, staff, and different people from the community to serve on it and to be able to give their opinion and to basically serve as that transparency that you're all seeking between the board and the community regarding the district projects. Again, to reiterate what Ron was saying, is that there was a common theme amongst the board, the committee members, was that in order to expedite these projects, you have over $40 million bond projects that you want to execute within this short time frame. You don't want to be dragging them out, like, I don't want to bring up the 2006 bond projects, but you don't want to be dragging them out and run into issues where you're going to have compliance issues and penalties for not spending that money. Now, that being said, you do have a CMR that's taking care of the construction of the pre-K-8 school. But that being said, that's about half of the budget, if I'm not mistaken. And the other half of the budget, you have a bunch of little projects throughout the district that you're trying to execute. Now, that being said, one person, except the common thing was that one person cannot be able to be the oversight of all those projects, and that the recommendation amongst the board, the committee members, was to have somebody in place to help be specialized just for those projects to make sure they're executed properly and to have the best interest of the district.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Flores, that is a good idea, and I think the board was heading down that direction mm-hmm. anyways. Maybe not per se to have one person do a construction management for all those the projects, but maybe separate them out what we did in the 2006 bond project is exactly that. We had a different CMR for some of the separate projects. For example, the Alderete Science Wing was different than the Garcia wing. School campus, and we had various others, and we also had, and it's a good recommendation that I'm making, is that maybe we have another CMR or an agent do for other projects as assigned. I don't think that we should assign everything that may come up under the bond, but I think having the ability to assign it to somebody that's on hand for some of the real small projects is a good idea. I don't think that some of those small projects, like we did in the early bird, some of those were not actually assigned to a construction manager or an agent. I think as the need arises that we should have somebody to do that. I don't agree that we should assign all the remaining projects to an agent or a CMR. But I do, the major projects for sure will be, and I'm talking about the gym at the high school, Alderete, gym and locker room, sand room, CMS construction, those major projects, and the Netches cafeteria. Clearly, we need somebody actually on our side doing something with respect to those bigger projects. And maybe, you know, maybe one of those that can also serve as another construction manager or an agent to do other smaller projects in the district.
You know, Mike, I think one thing that was presented to us at the meeting the other night was that you're trying to consolidate projects, group them together for different campuses, and I think that might be ideal for what you're talking about, to assign CMR to a certain campus, for example.
Right. Right. So, sir, are you saying possibly get an RFQ out for something of this sort, but then in the RFQ tell them that it's going to be selective?
Well, my suggestion to the board is that for sure we do the bigger projects assign somebody. It could be the same for two of the projects. I don't know. It's up to the board. We need to talk about it, and we need input from administration on that. But for example, we could group the projects at a campus together. But I don't know that we want to group the project of the HVAC by campus. I think we need to group that district-wide, not necessarily by campus. So I think we need some direction from administration. We have currently an architect still on board for our smaller project. Maybe we can, you know, they can suggest something to us about that. I don't know. The next meeting, we're going to be able to select architects for those other projects and select you know, maybe we can talk with the architects once we select them about the delivery method of each of those, because that can certainly make a difference whether we have a CMR or not, or an agent or not.
One more question, sir. Beyond those major projects, I think one of the concerns coming out of CBAC isn't so much getting the gym built, it's the play field at Davenport. It's the upgrades to central office. It's those, you know, litany of
smaller projects.
70 little projects that make up, you know, $7-8 million of the bond. Would that be where you'd want to bring somebody in?
I think the board probably should consider that we bring either a CMR or an agent to do that.
That we could assign.
That we can assign them to. Not necessarily say for sure you're getting this.
Okay.
Because if we choose a delivery method of maybe a competitive bid, there's no need to have, other than personnel from our administration checking up, make sure that they comply with the hard bid, right, Mr. Gatton?
That's correct. Plus our architect will be doing a lot.
Plus the architect will be on board. So I don't think for that type of delivery method we would need somebody on board. And some of the smaller projects lend themselves to that, but we don't really need CMR or an agent to supervise that, right?
I believe it's going to be the larger projects like
right.
I stated.
So I think we should have somebody that we can dish off some of these, assign some of these projects to a CMR.
So is what I'm hearing that the board, which I do believe we we have been feeling this same way too, that we need support, we need extra, we need more than we have. And that what I'm hearing from you, Mr. Coronado, is that as the time comes, this will be a decision that'll be made on a case-by-case basis. Well, is that...
Well, I think the major projects, once we assign the architects, we just need to get a CMR, if that's the delivery method we're going to choose with those big projects. And I think we probably need administration and our architect to recommend delivery method to us for the project.
And
the larger the project, the better to do a CMR, right?
Right. We could go ahead and go out for the RFQ and go ahead and get state on there for various projects district wide, and we get from a, you know, a certain time period to whatever time period, and then we can assign those later.
Exactly.
But I think that for expediency now, we probably need to start moving on the RFQ.
Exactly. We should
do
that.
We don't even have to award it, even if we
exactly
and we get to the end and we just decide we don't need it. But I think we probably need to start.
We should go ahead and request it once we get our architects on board, then we can powwow about.
And does that answer some of the question, or does that give relief, do you think, for you to return to the CBAC and with the, is that an acceptable answer to you?
Well, I guess it comes down to accountability and to be able mm-hmm. to see, make sure the projects are done correctly.
Exactly.
And done as asked for and done within the parameters of the money given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reoccurring theme that there's going on there. Is that you want to make sure, like you said, the funds are expended properly.
And are they happy to date?
For the most part, like I said, they have a lot of questions, a lot of questions, a lot of concerns. And like I said, we're working on trying to figure out a formal way to be able to bring our concerns to the board and to be able to give our input to the board.
Which is absolutely what we need and want and what we had hoped you would give us, and we have received your minutes to your meetings. We look forward to getting those because that is an open line of communication for us. Yes, Dr. Murphy?
The thing that I heard along with the recommendation for an RFQ to do what we're talking about tonight is the list of projects all need a scope of work attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All
yes.
220 projects. And I think it went hand in hand that getting a CMR or getting an agent or whatever we call it could greatly assist with that because, to get us through getting those scopes of work and getting the timelines and all of that going.
So possibly then what you're saying is hire a job boss for all jobs,
yeah.
A contracted worker who could oversee the entirety of this, and instead of just piecemealing that this man would do this and this man would do that, that there would be one.
That's the
who
idea
would
that
have an umbrella. Is that the idea of the CBAC?
I believe so. I think that's what the recurring theme amongst the members was.
Okay.
Somebody that be accountable. I'm sorry. Be accountable to the district for these projects, that accountable within the district.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And I think we're in a situation that I think we need to discuss also, and this actually, I don't know if this is possibly an agenda item, but maybe I guess it's related, Steve, is that I think what happened during the 2006 bond is our facilities director got caught up in a lot of the building then, so consequently some of the other day-to-day operations kind of, you know, we may be at a point that I think the board, we may need to consider that we fill the position of the director and take some duties away from that person and have an assistant that does the regular day-to-day stuff, because I think we may be at the point where we need to have that. That money, though, will not be paid out of the bond. That's going to be paid out of the M&O funds. That is separate and apart from having a construction manager or our agent with respect to the major projects.
Mm-hmm. But is
and I think that in itself, probably the board, we've considered actually something along
yes.
those previously.
Mr. Rodriguez? So,
I think one of the things is that what we need to look at it is cautiously. I think some of the concern that CBAC had was some of the concerns that the board had, and hoping within the next month or two we're able to get a very capable individual, and at the same time, we're able to go out for these RFQs to see if it's a needed base type of program, not over the whole bond program, but let's say if the new director says, you know what, I'm too full right now, but I need somebody to work on these sidewalks and do the scope of work on that, then we have somebody on hand where, you know, that work can be done. But if that individual, the new director, is able to get it all done, and we're able to save the district money, I think that's one of the concerns I think CBAC had, and I think it's been a concern of the board. So I think one of the next agenda items is to discuss how fast we would take the approach of the new director. But one of the issues, I think, like Mr. Coronado had said, and we had discussed, is possibly going out for the RFQs as either, I don't know if it's we just need an engineer or some type of architectural firm, where if we need scope of the work, we're able to get that for small little bitty projects, and then we need to look at maybe the three projects, how we separated them for the architects. We could do separate those three into CMRs, and then as well as doing one CMR and seeing what price, and maybe we could get a better price for the district.
Yeah, but sometimes the architect can actually be the overseer of the project, some of the smaller ones. So, but that's you're correct. Somebody's going to have to write the scope of works before we can go out for bid on them. So that's going to be very essential. So whoever does that, we have to have one for each project.
And we definitely are going to assign. We've already had those on the previous list for the architects to assign. How we break them up will be in a meeting coming up in March.
March 20th.
So that's already really on board. But we take the CBAC's recommendation with respect to having somebody on top from our district, making sure that that's getting done. Clearly, at that level, on the bigger projects, we don't just need somebody from our district. We need a CMR on hand as well. That's something I think the board needs to
then can we say
soon
that
make decisions about those issues.
Then can we say we're taking the CBAC's recommendation and then you start the and you know how you brought it back to us several times and then
you can direct the administration to start putting together an RFQ.
Absolutely.
For review to the board for oversight of the projects other than 3K8.
Well, I think, is that consensus or does anybody? Okay.
Monica?
Steve, does there need to be a motion or is it just direction?
We have possible action.
You can do a motion if you want.
Does it have to be or can we approve? Because they could bring it back and then we could discuss it then and then go from there, right?
Right.
Okay. But they do need direction from us to go out for
RFQ
on the CMRs.
And we've given the direction. Unless there's objection.
Well, you say you want them to issue and publish the
No, not yet. To start the process and then bring it back to the board.
Well, what Mr. Coronado is saying, though, if your instruction to them is to publish it and start the process,
we do need a motion.
You need a motion. But if you're just asking them to start the process
and then bring it back, yeah,
so you
exactly.
Review it, then you don't need a motion.
To start it and then bring it back to the board, and then once we agree on the RFQ, then we'll have them publish it. We'll vote at that point, sort of like what we did for the architectural.
Well, I think because of the time frame that some of these projects, when we already are going to select the architect here pretty soon for the bigger project, we probably need to get this started going. Let me tell you, if we don't do this soon and do a motion to request a CMR, we may lose to be able to do some of those projects this summer.
Yes.
We're going to get delayed again, and it's coming up here at the end of the year here pretty soon. We don't have to assign them once we do the RFQ.
We could write it to where we have it out.
The other thing that Dr. Murphy had mentioned, I don't know, should we just go out for a complete new RFQ, or should we look at, like Mr. Coronado was saying, we had the architect with small projects. Can we do that with our CMR for some of the small stuff for right now and then go out, or what's your recommendation?
I'm not sure if I follow. If the administration can draft the RFQ that I understand you want to publish now with options in it, so that people can bid a variety of different ways. That's what I was hearing. Are you saying you want to do something with the current CMR?
We could. That's what I'm asking. Do we just go out for a complete new?
Yeah, you would need a new one. Your CMR right now is only BMAC is only the CMR for the pre-K through 8, and that's it. Authorized and not been selected for any other purpose.
So even for the architect, right? And that's why the architect is small.
Right.
Okay.
You all broke those out the last time the architect was selected on purpose. And so when it comes up again, I think this month, they'll be broken out again so you can award them if you choose to, individually or as groups.
Okay. So then the recommendation would be to go with the AMS, CHS and CMS, and then possibly combining them as well as small projects?
Yeah.
Like how we did the... Is that okay?
Well, we could start with an umbrella that would be everything, the option A, and then it'll be at the board's pleasure. Option B would be selective off of that.
Yeah, which would be the three.
Yeah.
And then a small projects under.
I'll also need direction from the board or for administration whether or not we actually go out for CMR for project managers that represent the district. We'll need to know what you want, or we can go out for both and ask for both, and then you can decide later.
Can you come back to us with that in the follow-up? That
what I'll do
this would
this.
Behoove us to use the CMR for this. This would behoove us to, with some rationale.
What I could do is write the RFQ so we can actually include both in there. Then it'll be up the option of the district of how they choose for which projects or whatever. Some of them may be a CMR, some may be project managers.
Yes, the larger projects right. being the CMR.
Because I don't know if we really want to do a project, a CMR for a
sidewalk,
you know, $750,000.
And that's why I was saying, you know how we separated the AMS, we separated the CMS, and we separated the CHS. And there's different architects there, so we could separate to see if we could have different CMRs just on those three projects or collectively. And that's what I was trying to get to. And then you would have one for small projects that you could add to one of those.
And I have not seen that list yet as far as how you want to split this up.
We haven't.
So if you have that, I can see that. That would help me.
Well, you would have it sort of like in the umbrella of the RFQ, how you had it last, and then say, okay, you could... just propose for, let's say, an AMS, CMS, or CHS, or you could do all of the above.
Exactly. Go ahead and finesse it a little bit.
So CMRs for the large projects, project managers for the small.
What
options
no.
you either have?
You
or
figure
not.
It out,
yeah.
Dr.
And
Murphy.
And then bring it back to us.
Okay.
You and figure you, it out. We just told you the what.
Yes,
you figure out how to get us there.
We got it.
Go ahead, Mr.
Just a comment. People might not bid on it and respond to it the way you've structured it. So just be prepared that somebody might say, well, I'm only interested if I get it all.
Right.
I'm not interested in...
In piecemeal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to leave that option in there that it could be awarded to multiple entities.
I think one of the thoughts of the CBAC, going to Steve's point, was to bring in a corporation that would oversee $20 million worth of construction. That's the other half. I think that's really how, I mean, was that kind of what you guys were thinking?
It's kind of mixed on that. A lot of them were saying that they want to bring one corporation, or a lot of someone saying, let's look at the district side. I think there wasn't really a consensus of how they want to approach this, but like I said, again, the concern was to make sure they have somebody on staff and administration that oversee this project.
Someone that was dedicated to this solely and nothing else, that this was their prime concern in life, so that everything got done on time, in budget. Is that okay?
And then the other half of the recommendation was that it would be paid for out of bond savings.
Sure.
And we're already over $1.5 million in savings right now today.
Are we allowed to pay for someone out of bond savings? No.
I think if it relates, I have to look at it, but y'all.
If it's a CMR or an agent, yes. If it's our employee, no.
Right, it's not going to be a direct employee. If you're doing it for the project, I think you can.
Okay.
Yep.
Martha's bobbing her head, so the answer must be yes.
And speaking again for the CBAC, Mr. Coronado brought up one of the things that the CBAC was concerned about is that Mr. Armendar, so whoever's going to be in that position would have their hands full.
Yeah.
That we don't want the maintenance of our schools to suffer because we're we're focusing on all the
putting the sidewalks,
right? Yeah.
Exactly, and
we've thought about that topic.
And they also stated there was also some concern, also from some administrators on the CBAC, that they want a little bit more transparency on when the jobs get completed. Like when something gets completed on their campus, they want to be able to go and see the job, that it's to their satisfaction, and they would actually sign off saying that, yes, I agree, the job's complete to our satisfaction.
I would think that would go without saying, and that they would be contacted on the front end. When can we come to your house? Contacted on the far end. Are you happy with the work? If not, evaluate it.
That was one thing they brought up also, is when are you going to be here? When can you expect you to be here? When you should be finished and all that?
Everybody on the board can absolutely agree to that. It's accountability.
Yeah, we need to have the scope of the work. I mean, we had that same problem with us, and we need to make sure we have the scope of the work, that we go out for bids and we see what prices we're getting, and that we're getting the best bang for our buck. So I think that's what the concern is as well, right? Would you say?
So we take your recommendation and take it very strongly and seriously, and hopefully you'll tell your committee we're right in there with y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
How does Early College High School and Community College, remember that we had discussed this as to, do we need to get their contractor, or how is this going to impact that RFQ? Or
the new cafeteria?
Yes.
Well, their contractor, from what I understand, is going to take care of all the utilities and all that. They're responsible for all the utilities, the sewer, the electricity.
Because I think there's another contractor there, too.
Doing work for us?
For Community College.
They're building the back end.
Well, I know, do we need to, that's my question, do we need to?
No, it's our choice, it's our bond program.
Okay.
Yeah. All they're in charge of is just the utilities.
And we have a recommendation for the 20th on who to do that with, and so we'll have that on the 20th for you. So we'll go ahead and start the RFQ process in a comprehensive way that also allows some pullback.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have a local, not a local, but a current employee that might be not supervising, but kind of overseeing the small projects?
We have a plan for that, yes, ma'am.
You have?
Are you talking about the small bond projects, or just the work orders and daily operations?
Both.
Yes, ma'am. I have a plan.
Okay, good.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I'd also like the administration, in respect to going on with the RFQ, some of those projects that we may think are big, they might lend themselves that we might do a hard bid or something like that. I mean, and if so, then we don't necessarily want to see a modern agent.
Right. The architect will probably tell us that when we get them on board for that specific project, because they actually help us with the bid process. They actually post it. Work through them.
So the other thing is, it's critical that we get these architects on board next month quickly.
Yes.
The other issue is, even if it's smaller projects, the board, we might want to consider going to CMR anyways, if we think we're going to have savings and then have change orders and expand it. Because then, if we do the delivery method another way, we're going to be trapped and it's going to cost us a lot more.
And then we'll get change orders. And
So we need to upfront with our architect prepare for those other alternatives that we might add to the project from savings. So some of these we may want to go ahead, even though we think there's not a need for it, we may want to go ahead and do CMR. Mm-hmm. Or else a change order to our hard bid is going to cost us a lot of money.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we need to keep that in mind.
There's some advantages and disadvantages to CMR. It's going to cost us a little bit more, but it protects us in the end, so
yes.
We have to look at it.
Especially since we're going to be realizing savings, we may want to expand our process.
Exactly, which we've discussed that already.
And a hard bid won't allow us to do that without incurring substantial scratch.
And maybe you could just jot that down in your rationale to us that, you know, don't forget, this is going to be this, and that's going to be the other thing, if you will.
Like one of the things we may want to consider when we talk to the architect about, for example, what we've talked about, the band room alternative or adding classrooms to the gymnasium. Right now, we might think the money for it, but if we realize savings, we may want to do that. And a CMR will allow us. So,
Okay. Dr. Murphy?
Put something together, bring it back on the 20th?
Hopefully not on the 20th. Maybe like a Friday packet.
I'm going to try and have you a draft copy of the RFQ by Friday.
Thank you. That would be...
I can't promise.
Okay.
But we have spring break.
Okay. But maybe sometime mid, so that we don't just get it on the 20th and we go, oh, gee, we can't read this. There's not near enough time to absorb it all.
I mean for approval on the 20th.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
But way in advance before that.
Thank you. And thank you for taking your time to come and share with us. And thank you. Please give your CBAC committee our best. We appreciate your hard work and, you know, that you care about our district, too.
I'm very excited because we did have a good turnout the other night. And we're about 25, 26.
That's fabulous. And are you feeding them?
Yes, ma'am. I'm quarterly meeting.
Good.
Doc, if we... When would be the next time, if we don't do the motion today to instruct you all to go ahead and go for the RFQ, would you rather have that today or bring it back to us? How soon can we have the next meeting to
review it? Well, if he gets it to you in the Friday packet this week in draft form, we look over spring break, we'll be back on the 20th and we can approve it. Or you can just direct us to have a comprehensive with some outs. I think Ron knows what you want and we can go. It's up to you.
I'm a little apprehensive. I think we should bring it back.
All right.
You're wanting to actually like hire somebody from the outside that's going to work like a third party administrator and go over and provide the scope of work and oversee it and everything.
And be our person, our consultant that runs and does the scope of work and runs all of the operations to make sure everything gets done and completed correctly on time throughout the entire bond project, other than the pre-K date, with options for the board to pull things off and say, no, you're not going to do that, no, you're not going to do that, you will do this, you will do that. We direct them.
Yes, sir, Jim.
Monica, our architect's going to have to do the scope of work on any other stuff that we do, except maybe the little small stuff that our in-house can do it without having to do it, but most of those other ones are going to need an architect.
Oh, absolutely.
We can't get around that.
Yeah, no, that I understand. I'm nervous.
What are you, about bringing somebody in?
I don't want to add excessive cost to what we're already on top of. You know what I mean? Like, every time we bring something, we pulled 1.3 million of the bond and those projects are not even nowhere near complete. And so now you want to bring somebody and pay another fee, and it makes me nervous. I'm just being honest. I'm apprehensive about it because, I mean, we already pulled it. It fell by the wayside. Now we want to call somebody else to come and pick up the slack. It makes me nervous. That's all.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I would be more comfortable once we start seeing. I think we need to start going out for the RFQ process for our construction delivery methods on those projects. But I think the overall to oversee a bond program, I'm more comfortable once we get our new facilities director on board, so that way we know how capable that individual is and we could do it, as a little bit. Let's say if it's, the sidewalk, I need some scope of work on sidewalks, or I need scope of work on, a retention pond, whatever is on the bond program that's still left under the small part. Then that new facilities director, I just hope we get somebody really great and capable. And who knows, we might need them, we might not, but we need to make sure that the construction moves forward and that we make sure we don't go ahead when it comes to another individual overseeing the whole bond program.
Okay, but I think the CBAC recommendation is, even if you have a great person, you still need an outside person.
I see what you're saying because we've had this conversation, and if I'm not mistaken, Sergio had brought it up the last time we spoke, and he said, even if we have a capable city director, it's too much. With the ongoing day-to-day projects, with operations, everything, when you're talking about adding this extra, we're going to need a specific somebody that's dedicated to those projects. So this is where I have mixed feelings about going outside. I think I like better what you said, hiring somebody that works for us. But I know we can't pay them out of bond monies. But
I want somebody that, I think somebody that works for us would work better than to go out to the outside and have a third party. I have, I don't, I, I'm not, that's
yes, Mr. Cardinal.
Monica, on the big projects, we
no,
gotta have somebody.
That I know. No, that
even
I know.
Even if we have somebody on that, we gotta have our CMR or an agent.
Yeah, I'm talking about projects like, yeah, like redoing the CMS parking lot. Projects like that.
Well, even for that, we gotta have the architect clearly.
I mean, we did that 2 years ago, and it's.
But it wasn't done right.
That's right.
It wasn't done right because somebody didn't ask for the.
Well, we didn't have the money. We didn't have the funding to do it totally correctly. That's part of it.
And the scope of work that was provided was wrong.
That's right. And so, that's why administration recommends the CBAC recommendation of getting a third party in to do that. Because when you hire a second, okay, so you have your top guy, the Ernesto person, and then you have second. That second is not going to do the scope of work. He's not going to do the technical. It's still going to have to rely on that top person who then is also overseeing everything else. And that's why the recommendation is to get an outside entity.
Depending on what type of individuals we get and how capable they are, I think one of the things, and we need to look at that more on the next item, but I think we need to move forward with the RFQ. And then you bring back.
Right, because we don't have to act on it. We're just getting it ready. We're planning ahead. And
the more time we know, I mean, maybe we get somebody that, you know, has experience, you know, especially with all the federal layoffs right now. I mean, not the federal layoffs, but all the work on Fort Bliss that's downsizing. We might get some solid people that know how to write solid scope of works and, you know, report to us in a, you know, a detailed manner.
Mr. Cornella?
Monica, by going up for the RFQ, doesn't mean we're going to hire them. We can decide who we're going to assign it to, which projects. We can even leave some of them out if we feel that our people are able to do the smaller projects. And it would really only be the smaller projects.
We're just expanding on our options, that's all
right. And once the RFQ comes back and they give us it, we don't have to vote on it. We don't have to even give nobody anything. Okay. But if we don't do it soon, we may be out on some of those summer projects. We're
out on a lot of
projects. Yeah.
I agree, Sergio. I think time is of the essence, and I think if we don't move on it, summer's going to be here,
and we're going to be out
again.
Think about it. We don't start the process till after March 20th to get a CMR, and then the architect's not going to finish and get the CMR on board to do. We're not going to be able to do some of these projects in the summer like we wanted to if we don't hurry up.
I mean, currently what we have working for us, staff, there's nobody capable. There's nobody that can oversee any of this.
Yeah. Look at the problem we're in because of, not going to be here.
I'm saying because some of these people have been here for a long time. I mean, a lot of the construction that was done here was overseen and constructed by people we still have working for us. So that's why I'm asking.
But we don't have an engineer. We don't have an architect. Yeah. We don't have anybody to do the scope of work.
We need to give them authority on the next item to hurry up and move forward so we could get somebody on board.
Well, this time I move that the board instruct the administration to proceed with a RFQ as explained to administration with respect to the bond projects pending other than the PK through A.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Just to clarify, what we're looking at is our CMRs, that we're looking at those projects and not necessarily a full oversight. It would be somebody as needed on an oversight basis that's on the district's hand out of the bond program.
Or agent.
Or agent.
CMR agent.
Or agent, yeah.
So we would be doing an RFQ for an agent?
Well, it's either or.
Either or.
How do they want to respond? So I'm saying you might get tremendous response on one side, and you might get no response on the other side.
You understand? Okay.
Okay. Tony?
Mrs. Cossens?
Yes.
Mr. Parnell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
Mr. Blanco will be asking you to help us with that review and everything.
And we'll see that back on the 20th?
Well, We'll give you a progress report.
Yeah, I think we'll...
Flores, thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
We could discuss that on the...
Mr. Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Flores, and for your service, too.
We, as you can tell, we share the same concerns that CPAC does. Will you let them know that we are on the same page in our quest to be as transparent as possible? We share your concerns, and we appreciate the work that you put in.
Appreciate that. I think they understand that. With you all coming out in the first meeting and being able to relay that message to us, I think we have that understanding. I think that's why we're going full board, full effort right now to try to do the best job that we can, because, like I said, we feel that we do have the support from you all, and that's giving us an incentive to continue doing our job.
I think you not only have our support, you have our... We depend on you, too. You're the other set of eyes and ears and fingers and toes that are so helpful. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you.
On to our next agenda item, B.
Item D is the consent agenda, and administration recommends approval as presented.
Any discussion? Anybody like to remove anything?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion?
I need to pull an agenda item, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Which would you like?
Number 2D, please.
Okay, the iPads?
Yes, please.
The board's iPads.
President, board members, I also apologize. Ms. Fierro is ill. She couldn't be here tonight. She'd probably be wanting to talk about this stuff as well.
Would you like to then just... Oh, they can talk. Okay. Thank you.
Who are these iPads for?
This is a proposal brought forth by Mr. Fry, and it's to purchase student iPads for as you see on the thing, interactive online textbooks and math applications. So it is for students, but they're ordering like two classroom
pads.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's for student use, not for teachers.
Yep.
They're going to be taking
administrators.
No administrators.
It's happened. It's happened.
Well, right now, I mean, this is what I did call personally to Mr. Fry, and I said, "This is for students." He said, "Yes, ma'am."
Yeah. And who's going to maintain them?
Sure, about
28
of them, 30?
No,
40. Who's your apple specialist? You know apple's another animal.
Apple is a totally different animal. We do have a server. We are working on that. We just were approved as a volume purchase program with... And this absolutely, you know, it says, I don't know, it's not on yours. I'm not sure if this is on yours, but I said it would be monitored by the CISD Technology Department, CHS Administration. I'm not sure if that was added on. I talked to Mr. Fry, and I just came back from TCEA, and everything was iPad. Everything. And this is a big chunk of state comp money that, you know, the district had given out for reallocation. But bottom line is, we do have to figure out if we can manage them. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you.
With the application, with the App Store, how are you going to prevent downloading and all
that? We're not going to do the App Store. That's why we're doing volume purchase program.
Okay.
It's called the VPP.
Okay.
And under the VPP, you will monitor it. You buy the volume. It's almost similar. It's similar to what we do in the PC environment. It is not as seamless in the PC environment. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a huge undertaking for IT. We have to put on another tech. But we're going to have to put on another tech that knows Apple. Mm-hmm. And And the thing is, we have to address this head on. So we have to look at what can we do and how can we manage the Apple environment. I belong to COSIN, which is a consortium of school network techies across the state of Texas. And it's from anywhere from the apps are going, are being treated, like what you said, if they get it online and they use it like an iTunes card, which is the exact same thing as an app card, or are they going to VPP? Well, we've already set up our VPP. We already have a server set up. We already have, you know, things set up through special ed that we're doing. But those are very definite programs that are easier to monitor. We really do need a pilot project to see.
Are you anticipating using this as such?
Yes.
Yes. I know also, yes. When you work with Apple and like you use Safari to go out on the internet, there's a lot of stuff you can't reach because you have to have either Foxfire or Internet Explorer. When you use Apple, it's not going to load. So that's why I want to know if this is geared just towards this or are they going to try to expand it?
I think we're going to try to. The answer, to give an absolutely truthful answer, and and Mr. Fry and I told him, I said, listen, if I'm going to help oversee this, and you're going to have to go through our parameters, and he said yes, you know, because what we have to do is look at the accountability for the VPP, which is a volume purchase program. So to make sure that we are going to do it, we could assign this to like math and maybe only two teachers in the math department so that we can look at it and let them have, okay, find out what you want, then let's see how we can track this. And then we have to track to see how durable they are. We have to track to see are they interfering with our infrastructure, which we don't think because they're already using it to maximum. Right now, we have kids using iPads, we have kids using iPhones. Mm-hmm. I can go on and do it.
The kids can probably imagine for you, actually. Yeah.
And we can actually show you how many are being used. Mm-hmm. So we can absolutely, but what you're talking about is accountability. It's a different issue. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, when a parent buys a child an iPad, that's one thing. But when you buy it with school dollars, it's accountability that has to come with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this tidal wave is coming at us anyway. And it was prevalent. It was, everything was iPad. I went like this and I felt like, you know, and we sent three people and we went to everything. I said, just go to anything that's on policy, go to anything that's on, you know, how do you manage it, go to, and I spent 2 days just in 8-hour sessions, some things were doing wonderfully and other things were behind, but we're behind the Apple.
Their market share keeps on growing.
But iPads were not meant for a consumer industry. Now, what they have done under the VPP, they have gone from the consumer to now the education arena. So you're going to start seeing a lot of different things happening with the Apple. I think we have to start, they're hearing.
Embracing it?
We at least have to understand it and make sure we can have what Ms. Searles was saying and what you were saying, the accountability attached to it.
Okay. Mr. Rodriguez?
Were you done?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of
order, though. We have a motion on the board for the consent agenda if we're going to pull it. That's
okay.
I think she just did.
Yeah, but we
haven't voted on the
consent. Oh, okay. Well, let's take that to a vote, Tony.
Okay, this is for the consent agenda, all items except for D2. Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. Now back to Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick, I think it's kind of great that, you know, we're starting to diversify our the what we're providing our kids, because when you start seeing that even at the university, when I first started, it was like 10 max, and then everything else was PC. Now it's pretty much down the middle.
We don't have trouble with Mac.
It's more the iPad.
Mac is, absolutely, we have a server for the Mac, we can look at the Mac, we can buy the applications for the Mac. It's It's totally different. iPad is totally different.
Because
this was not made for education, and so the accountability is not put in. That's the only thing we have to vet out.
Well, the HTML setup, right, is that one of the things you were
talking about? Oh, it's totally different.
It's not just that. It's
Flash is the main thing.
It's just different.
I mean, yeah, Flash. The thing that I have, and what I was going to ask is, I know there's going to be an iPad coming up within the next couple of months. Is it, why are we waiting so late in the year? And
I do believe it's the 185 funding source. I do believe there was an audit that we got back that we finance reallocated. And this 185 money is to be spent, has to be brought into the district.
Right. If you recall, when we were audited, they indicated the salaries had to be reclassified, and so that left the state comp ed funds that we needed to. First of all, we are required to spend 55% of it. And so what I did is I took the salary funds and actually reallocated back to the campuses. And so as they've been developing their plans through their improvement CICs, they've determined how they want to purchase. And so technology is one of the focuses to improve education.
So it's stuff that needs to be spent.
Yes, and then we've got a deadline of June 30th.
And that's all I had.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
I'll just simply say that I fully support this. It's time to do a pilot with iPads. And also in the goal setting that we've been doing with both leadership and the DAC, technology is the behind compensation. It's the number one item on both committees to foray deeper into it and to get our district more forward thinking in. So I fully support this.
Sounds great. Tony?
Is there a motion for item D?
I so move.
Second?
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded to approve item D2.
Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
Thank you.
Closed session.
Mm-hmm. That'll take us to Tony.
Item 3 is executive session, and the time is now 8:03 p.m. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code sections 551071, 551072, and 551074 for discussion with legal counsel regarding potential acquisition of real estate. Discussion with legal counsel to receive an update on pending litigation and discussion of certain administrator professional employees contracts as follows: certified administrators 2-year contracts, certified administrators 1-year contracts, non-certified administrators 2-year contracts, and certified professionals 1-year contracts.
For he's not a purse sort of guy, no. Everybody ready? It's 9:31, and the board will resume into open session now. Oh, we already have a phone call.
Message.
Tony, could you take us to any action we've got here?
Item 4A is consider approval or non-approval of contract renewals or extensions for certain administrator or professional employees.
Okay. Oh.
That's C.
I make a motion.
Oh.
That,
that's right. Okay.
I make a motion that we approve the administrator professional employees contract as presented by administration, which follows a certified administrator 2-year contract, certified administrators 1-year contract, non-certified administrator 2-year contracts, and certified professionals 1-year contracts.
Motion made and seconded to approve the administrative and professional employees' contracts as read. Any discussion? Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you, Board. Item 4B is discussion and possible action regarding possible board resolution regarding the City of El Paso's plan, El Paso Developmental Plan, and related real estate issues with KENETO ISD. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Board President Searles, members of the board, and Dr. Murphy. You have in your packets a revised draft of a resolution regarding the proposed comprehensive plan from the City of El Paso. It has various items of information regarding what we understood in drafting my partner Jerry Wallace, as I told you, drafted this, based on our understanding of what the district would like or is considering communicating to the city and to developers in the area regarding the placement of high density versus other types of development in the various areas of the district. There are two items that I want to make sure that I call your attention to because it is drafted such that Interstate 10 is essentially a demarcation line where we're saying that development of one sort based on the infrastructure as it's understood to be planned by the City of El Paso is okay on the east side of I-10, but because of the lack of the facilities on the west side of I-10, that the district, if it is your desire, is asking that it be kept to a different type of use, and that is set forth in items 6 and 7. I don't know if y'all have any questions for me about the drafting of it or how it came about. Y'all are free to discuss it, debate it, and then let us know if you have action you want to take on it.
I just have a comment, and my thing is, I guess the separation of whether it's the Rio Grande Valley and the Interstate 10, I think separating within, you know, the district's boundaries and saying what should be done in one place and what should be done the other place is not something I would see as an equal position across the district, so I'm sort of like not liking this, but that's my comment.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Coronado.
That's right. I kind of echo those sentiments. Items 3, 4, and 5, and I don't have a problem with the board sending a resolution to the county, I mean to the city, telling them, hey, look, we want you to try and keep the density to a minimum, and we want to make sure that you provide adequately for infrastructure within the development in our district. But to tell them that they can have free rein on one side of the freeway versus the other, I just don't. You know, even if it's not agricultural land out there, we have arroyos, I mean, they're still going to put infrastructure up there, and I know there's no land, no other streets per se that they could do that, and it's going to have to come within the city platting anyway, and that's how they're providing for it. But just I know we know they're going to provide it, but just saying that to me, when we know they're going to take care of it because it's in within, it's just, you know, and it sounds bad. We know it's going to get done, and we say we don't object to you doing high density up there. It's like we don't care about that. We know that through the platting now they're requiring it, but just for us coming out and saying that is, to me,
to the extent that
I think it makes, yeah, it's like we're
so take that in 4 out.
I don't think we ought to put anything about west of it or Interstate 10
or the Rio Grande. That's my.
You think it should encompass the whole district?
Didn't we already do a resolution?
We did a similar resolution several years back to the city when they were developing right across from Damiana.
This is for the plan.
And of course, They said thank you, but
for cold people.
It really is, and that's a good point. It really is just communication of your desire. So whatever the board chooses to communicate, I think
I think the difference, Mr. Coronado, is this, that the upper portion of our district on the east side is all city. It is the city of El Paso, and they do already have their zoning, and they have a plan being formed by Dover Coal as we speak, and that takes into, because I surely don't think we ought to cast our other side of the freeway to the wind either. That I don't think that's the thought here. But that is the city, whereas the bottom half is not the city for the most part. It's ETJ, and there's, you know, it's kind of a free-for-all.
But they still have to approve it. Within the ETJ, you can't just build anything. You got to comply with their...
No.
Yes.
It's county, and you have to be annexed first. You have to ask to be annexed, and after the annexation, then you go to be zoned. And they don't have authority over the ETJ.
Yes, they do. That's why they went to the city to develop, to ask for permission to do this. They're outside the city limits. Why would they go out to the city and ask for approval?
No, the Dover Coal people are adding. Those are the people the city paid. I think they paid them $200,000 to come in.
Is this
$2 million
property in Valley? Is that in the city?
2.5 million.
In the city jurisdiction?
No, it's in the. Is it in the city?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's in the city jurisdiction. The ETJ. They have to comply with the regulation because it's within a certain distance from their boundaries.
I don't honestly know the answer to that. That sounds correct. I mean, the extraterritorial jurisdiction extends to certain areas, but I don't know that it.
Yeah.
I don't know that it does or not.
But see, Lori, what you're saying is, and it's why directed to the city of El Paso then for the Lower Valley if it's not in their jurisdiction?
It's the county as well. That the county, I think, is what's written here. The county, the city.
But you know what? The county doesn't have any regulations over the zoning.
The county does, they have no zoning regulations, but they have subdivision
rules. Yeah, but those are already in place for everybody, regardless of where you're at.
So what do you think this should be amended to read?
Well, I just think we need to have a general statement saying, hey, look, we object, and it shouldn't just be to any city, I mean, just to the city of El Paso. I mean, it should be to any entity within governmental entity that's developing or approving subdivision plots in our
district. What are we objecting to, though? Are we objecting to the high-density, smart growth type, or are you saying that... Because there are two things in this resolution that we try to focus on. One is that the board would object to any development that are in areas where... And it's in the whereas, the fancy first page... where there's not sufficient utility, infrastructure, transportation, that it's of a suburban versus urban character, and that we would object to high density development in those areas. You could keep the lack of infrastructure as the key component, and then if I'm hearing Mr. Coronado correctly, revise the resolution where we would essentially be saying we object to that type of development anywhere you don't have the proper infrastructure to support it. You could say that, if the board wants to say that. It would shorten this resolution somewhat, and it would be district-wide as opposed to just the fact that this district is divided. You have areas that are developed, and you have areas that are undeveloped. We want to say that we object to it across the board. It would be tied to utilities, infrastructure, transportation, access. We did do, Mr. Rodriguez mentioned that we had passed an earlier resolution that was similar, that dealt with transportation and access.
You know, I can't see that we're going to say, okay, you can have smart growth stuff east of I-10, but don't do it over on the valley side.
Because the valley side is called urban smart growth. and 50% of the land has to be left to open space, right, which has already been violated on a piece of property in our district, which has been claimed 60 acres, which has been claimed as smart growth, and it's not because it's urban, and they didn't donate the 50% as smart growth is defined as. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the city has already broken their own ordinance?
Well, there's smart growth principles, and then there's a smart code. And so it's difficult to distinguish between both. To have a general statement is, I guess, what would it entail? And what is it that needs to be? I'm just saying, if we're going to do something, it has to be across the board. Maybe talk about the history. It has to take part of, the outdoor type of walking trails, whatever it may be, horse trails, that type of thing. Integrate that within the development, not necessarily, if it's upstairs, if it's up on the interstate, integrate those biking trails, that type of thing. A general statement that says, integrate the diversity of our community, which in each part has, and make that something.
The east side of the freeway is no community, though. And what they are going to come in and do is overwhelm us. And we are going to be sitting in 4 years up here going, oh my God, where did all these homes come from? And where did all these kids come from? And we are so far behind that we can't take care of the children we have today. And our at-risk children will now become so significantly at risk that the cost to educate them is going to be more. If we allow our areas in the valley around Damian, let's look at that specifically, around Garcia to begin high density or medium density growth, we've already been told from the city that they don't care. Traffic can be chaos. They don't care about our kids because they're not their kids. They're our kids. They're not in the school business. All they're in is in the city business. That's why we're up here, seven of us, trustees for the children, the 5,000 children in our district, to say, guess what, your little brother and sister, they're not going to have to go to school with 30 kids to a classroom because we looked ahead and we cared enough to take care of this on the front end instead of being, totally reactive, instead of proactive and telling the city. This is unprecedented. I don't think there's been a school district, with the exception of a San Ellie just passed something, that said, we actually care about our students, we care about our taxpayers, and we care about what happens. We're the last frontier here. And I'd hate for us to be looked at, boy, weren't they the stupid ones that didn't do anything. They could have, but they didn't. They did not have the courage to stand up and say, we can't take your heavy growth. We can't take your apartments, all the things that the city has done to the other areas of town, and all you have to do is drive through and look. The quality of life in El Paso, if you'll go up on Trans Mountain and look down, if you'll go on to Rim Road and look down, you can watch how the quality of life has regressed in El Paso to where really it means quality of life is you're alive. It's not quality of life. We used to have a neighborhood pool. We have one here in Canyotillo. That was back in the good old days. There's nobody saying, gee, when we build the neighborhood now, we're going to put the pool in and we're going to put a park in like they did with Gallegos. No, they're going to come and concrete us and our kids will have nowhere to play. They will have nowhere to go outside. They're not going to get a pool. It isn't going to happen. Well, that is the new growth of El Paso. They don't care.
I think that's been the growth of El Paso, especially the east side. That when looking at, if those are the issues, then that's something we could talk about, build a school within a community or a community within the school, that type of stuff. But we cannot tell, especially private property owners or the city that stop the growth. We can't, we can't handle it. Our job is not that. You know, it's like the city
coming
and telling us.
I don't think we're telling them stop, just control.
Well, it looks like we're saying it's okay on this side and it's okay. What we need to do is address the issues. If those are the issues, if you want to have a, you know, park or that type of stuff, but that's what the city is currently looking at. When you're looking at the council, the decisions council's making with smart growth and the smart code, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, if you're looking at that 60 parcel acre, it does have a park within that community. If you're looking at different areas, I think we need to look at it objectively and not, you know, subjectively. So, I mean, if we're going to address those issues, then let's address those issues. I believe, you know, I think it's kind of great when you have a park or you have a fitness center or, you know, swimming pool within those communities, but let's work on something like that. But we can't say, okay,
well,
it's great to build here, this type of development, but not here. It's like, if we wouldn't like if the city were to come and tell us, you know what, use this type of math instrument and that one. I mean,
they already have. They came and told us that we need to have less land for our schools, that they don't like us taking up so much space to put our schools on. They think our kids ought to be able to have smaller playgrounds, and they ought to be able to have smaller areas. That didn't go over real well with me,
no,
but they've already tried to.
We have those decision-making authorities that we do, and we have the, you know, we have eminent domain, and we make those decisions on how our schools are going to be. They have no right to encroach on that. They might want it a certain way, but it's up to us to make those decisions.
They have not included us in any of their decision-making. And I do believe it's been for the better part, probably 7 to 8 years that they haven't.
Because we've taken an absence role on that.
Well, I don't think it's only our fault. They should have taken a leadership role. Even if we were absent, they should have been leaders, correct? They're the...
Well, it would be great if we had all leaders.
It would be, and since they're the leading entity, you would think they would be a leader and consider school children. I know that I have sat up, and I know you have too, probably everybody in this room, more consortiums on education put on by the city that have gone nowhere, absolutely nowhere, because they do it as a front that they care about education. The seven of us sitting here, Dr. Murphy, eight, that's our life. That's all we're here for as trustees for education and to secure that children will have an education that's worthy of being had. And I think that's what this is addressing.
And if you look at, okay, if we don't want high density, where's my brother going to live, you know? Where's some of my family members going to live?
Same place. It doesn't have to be high. Just
well, when you drive the market that way, then it has market conditions.
Meaning?
I mean, when you look at the smart code and what they're trying to do is provide diversity within that housing, whether it's low income, high income. If what you're trying to do low density in the valley, then what you're actually doing is just providing for high-income people to afford that type of, development, and you're not really putting any type of diversity in that area.
I don't agree with that. When I look at our valley, I don't see high-income people. You live in the valley.
Well,
I live in the valley. We all, in fact, every one of us lives in the valley. I don't consider any of us like high-income people, and when I look at my neighbors, I don't see that either. The people who live behind me at Garcia live in two mobile homes, and one of them I don't even know if it has windows in it. I don't think they're like on the high end, but they're people that have the chance that if you wanted to have a farm, if you wanted to have a little acre plot of land, you could do it because that's available. And it's not like that anywhere else in town. It's special. We're special that we have the ability to offer that, actually.
What if you owned an acre farm and you wanted to sell it? I mean,
you could.
I wish it didn't happen, but that's the way, you know.
I think that we can set a precedent here by saying that we as all Canutians do realize our agrarian background and that we value that and that we don't want someone to come in and run us over and say, you know, your streets, we know there's not even any stripes on them, and you just barely get two cars on them. But we're going to put thousands of homes here, and y'all can figure it out.
Then let's address those issues.
We did. They're in here, is what I read, and very clearly set out in here.
The suggestion I would say, based on what I'm hearing, is we delete item 3, and then items 2 and 4 in the resolution become one single item, so that it's linked to the adequate traffic, school buses, routes for school students, residents, but it wouldn't say that we approve of high density east of I-10, nor would it say you outright object to high density west of I-10. You would only approve it if it meets the character of the area. You could say that.
Would that be appropriate to you, Mr. Rodriguez, for him to come back with the amended?
We can take another crack at it and bring it back and see if
resolution.
Like something a little bit different.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
Steve, what was that quote you just said?
You would,
character of the area.
Yeah, Mr. Rodriguez said, well, if you're going to, don't divide it up. Don't say we're okay with east, but we don't want it west. Okay, well then what you're okay with is if it fits the character of the area within the school district and the planning can provide for streets, infrastructure, utilities, routes for school buses, routes for school students, all the other nice things that are in there, we would say this is what we want. And then as they come up, either the plan meets what you're wanting or the master plan doesn't, then you can go and say, well, we've objected to it. But it's going to take some revisions in the language. I can't get there with what we have here. So I would let us take a crack at it and bring it back. If you're okay with that, I'll try that.
I would like to ask the board if...
I'm okay with the revision.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Thank you.
Okay, then we won't need any action if the board's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to Jerry and we'll tweak the language, and I think we can come up with something that will address that issue.
And I'd like to tell Mr. Rodriguez, really, the object here is to say, not that you can't, but to say that we want to be able to. We want to be able to educate the students that you give us. You can't just dump a pile of kids on us and we not have anywhere to put them. We not have any sort of way to transport them. You know that walking to school in Kenyatta is probably not going to happen. I know that's...
It could happen.
It could, but you know, a lot of things, an asteroid could fall tonight too. None of our schools are set up to walk to, not one of them.
Well, that's something that we should put in there,
but
is having more walkable
trying to get
type of communities. Yeah.
More in that.
I mean, we're looking there, but as of today, it ain't going to happen.
And that's what I'm saying. If that's a problem and if that's something that we want, then that's what we should address. And looking at, okay, well, let's provide more walkable communities. If they're going to be walking to Garcia, then let's make sure that there's walkable pathways.
That's why the top portion is totally brand new. It's an open palette that has nothing on it. Our bottom portion, what little facilities we have, you know, they're stretched and they're hard-pressed.
And that's what we should look at. If the city has to provide that infrastructure to make sure that they provide it right.
Correct.
And tell them.
And that's what I think this is somewhat addressing. Am I correct? And here, that is the letter.
I think we take another crack at it. I come up with something. I scribbled some notes down that I think will get us there.
Okay. That takes us to C.
Discussion of possible action regarding job descriptions and job postings.
President Searles, board members, audience, I direct your attention to the two job descriptions found on page 35 for the Executive Director for Facilities and Transportation and page 39 for the Associate Superintendent. Administration has reviewed both jobs and job descriptions and are ready to post as of tomorrow.
get these out by the end of business tomorrow. And administration is happy with the way they read, and we just wanted to get any comments. We'll take a look at the Executive Director for Facilities and Transportation first and ask if anyone has questions or thoughts.
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Under special knowledge and skills, I don't see bilingual preferred.
Excellent point.
Which one are you looking at, Mr. Earls?
Page 35, Executive Director.
Great.
And I, go ahead, Monica.
Dr. Murphy, did we already take this to the Personnel Committee?
Yes, ma'am.
They've approved it both?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
Dr. Murphy, I have a question, and I don't know, it's a big question. I read under the Executive Director for Facilities and Transportation, the first sentence, direct, maintain, and monitor all new construction and renovation projects in the district. And then it goes down to essentially planning and maintenance, every sentence after that. Are you sure that it shouldn't just be stopped after the first sentence, and that first sentence should go into the next person's job description? That the executive director, are you sure we're doing the right thing in asking that all of this happen of one person and not downgrading this position to a director who only does everything after the first sentence?
If we downgrade, I was thinking about this over the weekend. If we downgrade this position, the salary will not be where we can get an engineer slash architect type to come on.
But with that said, maybe that's not the person we need to be the director of facilities and transportation. Mm-hmm. That possibly they don't need to be an engineer or an architect. Maybe they don't even need a master's degree. That they need to be somebody with time on task, a trade-skilled person that understands your bus barn, your bus routes, your age, everything else in here under the first sentence. Have you given any thought, or has administration given any thought to that?
I've worked in a district that had a person like that. He was basically a tradesman, not an educated man. I don't even know if he had a college degree, and he ran the maintenance. My thought on this is directed more toward some of the stuff we've already mentioned, of having a person with this type of background and then having a second under them, as opposed to just having that second without anybody over them. If we need to clean up the primary purpose, the primary purpose paragraph really kind of distills some of the problems with what we're having in that it's just so much. It's just
yes,
so much
it is.
Oversee. And it's going to become even more as our district grows. And the notion of having someone that serves as his number one assistant or her number one assistant would be, I think, very beneficial. Direct the maintenance department, supervise the custodial department, direct manage the district's transportation and vehicle maintenance program. Those are the three main things in the primary purpose, along with monitor and maintain all new construction and renovation and the HVAC. So there's five things: the new construction and renovation, the HVAC, and then the three areas of maintenance, custodial, and transportation. And you are going to have somebody that has that. A cabinet level person is going to have that responsibility of those items, similar to how Ernesto mm-hmm. and the person before him have had it.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
You know, eventually we might be able to
be at the point that we can do that and split those right now, there's just no way. We got to have somebody with that kind of knowledge supervising all that area, even though he himself doesn't necessarily do it. That's why I think we need somebody else to do some of the other administrative
agreed stuff. Upon, yes.
But we got to have somebody who's a director and not having that kind of knowledge, because there's going to be things that come up that just an assistant like that is not going to be able to do. There's just no way. Especially when we deal with doing work orders for, you know, we go out and hire third parties to come in and do that. How can the person who doesn't have any knowledge of that in terms of an architect going to be review an engineer or somebody else's deal when they don't have that kind of expertise? How can we check that their scope is going to be right when we're checking out if we don't have somebody in our district that can do that?
I think we need someone completely. My question was just...
To remove some.
To what?
Remove some of the responsibilities.
To take some of this AP8, which you've got to be an engineer or an architect. You also have to have a master's degree, and you're going to have to be a registered professional, and you're going to be certified. The next job, you're going to have a master's degree, a doctorate preferred, and then a mid-management. So actually, the executive director is going to be almost more highly qualified than your associate superintendent.
Well, in the areas of maintenance and operations, absolutely. That's what Ernesto had. Ernesto had all of that.
Yes, he did. But it didn't work out well, did it?
It sure didn't.
It worked out miserably.
But somebody, I mean, the three areas of maintenance, custodial, and transportation, somebody is going to be over those three.
Yes.
And this position would be the position to be over those three.
And that they also should take on their shoulders, direct, maintain, and monitor all new construction and renovation projects in the district?
Yes, and then okay, so it's at a high level. They got all that. And then this new notion of putting a second in to handle the day-to-day on the maintenance and transportation and custodial.
If we don't do that, Lori, then we're going to have that other second be a totally separate director.
Okay.
It's going to cost us more.
It's just, I wanted to discuss this because I see validity in this discussion.
I agree that person shouldn't be doing everything, but somebody needs to be on top of that.
Because,
level.
I mean,
has to be super
it didn't work.
Yeah,
we just
that
had
level
this.
And that much responsibility, you're going to falter somewhere. I mean, it's
you've
just,
got
it's,
to.
It's too much on the scale. You can't balance it. There's
yes,
so
ma'am.
Many.
Yeah.
I think we should take our transportation.
I also want to point out that all the executive directors have a broad span of control. For example, and I'm going to use Martha Aguirre, our executive director of financial services. I mean, she's got warehouse, she's got food service, she's got all of the accounting staff, the financial office under her. So there is a broad span of control for executive directors. And I can tell you that all of them have master's degrees. So it's not uncommon for at that level of position to have a broad span of control and have these certifications or degrees that are required in those positions.
When you say the span of control, is it a day-to-day operational control or just the financial?
That's a good point. Martha has professionals working under in food service. And Mr. Ortiz has his in warehouse. He's a professional employee. As
Adele.
Is what?
Adele.
And the accountants and all that.
I just
really appreciate what Sergio's saying. I think in our facilities and maintenance, in trying to move forward, appreciating where we are, this 1-2 punch of getting someone with similar qualifications that we've had. But then getting a second in there, I like that. I really like that idea. So I don't really want to move away from getting this person. I just want to get him a second.
And the second person not as highly qualified as
correct.
This person?
Yes, ma'am.
The
correct.
Second person to help this man run the day-to-day, or woman,
yes,
or person, I'm sorry, run the day-to-day operations, and that their level would be
We'd have to figure it out.
And we do, and is, but tell me, what, Mr. Flores, is that who is here from CBAC?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
What he was just asking for, those seemed like the person who did the direct maintain and monitor all the construction, not the person who helped at the bus barn.
Correct.
So, help me.
Well, I think what Al is talking about is even a third.
Okay.
An oversight. Because remember that when CBAC made the recommendation, they had no knowledge of Ernesto's resignation.
Understand?
The person, may I have?
Yes, ma'am.
The person you have right now at the helm of maintenance, is that a director or is that just a supervisor?
I'm sorry?
The person you have right now at the helm of transportation, is it a director or is it just a supervisor?
What is Juanza? Supervisor. All three of them?
I think, coordinators?
Coordinators or supervisors?
Are they the same level?
So, something needs to happen on that structure. It's not working right now the way it is. Yeah. It's not.
And I've got an idea. We'll talk, and we have talked. And that was in Friday Packet. And we'd like to move forward. And, you know, Ms. Searles, this is also another thing. It goes to some of the stuff we've already talked about tonight. We certainly need to post this, get it out there. Let's take a look at the pool. We might just get a rock star come in on this. That we just really love, and I really want to move forward with someone that has all those traits. If the pool is scarce, we might want to look at doing something different.
But what I'm hearing is you want two more people in the pool, ultimately.
Well, I want one additional, and then we have an RFQ out. I want to do what Ron has been tasked with earlier
okay.
this evening.
Okay.
Right. Here's my, you know, and then we can move on because I really want to talk about the associate superintendency. But administration recommends this, and is there any other
comments, questions?
And of course, this will all come through the board. Everything, the decision, and everything.
You will bring us the person. I'm,
of course.
If I'm not mistaken,
yes, ma'am.
These are board hires,
yes,
correct?
Ma'am.
So the board will have the ultimate. You'll bring us one person at a time.
Maybe with the hopes that you'll hire somebody that can bring ideas to you and is a visionary and can help us fix that department.
Absolutely.
Possible. Once that person is on board, we can recommend the reorganization of that area.
Absolutely.
Excellent idea. Maybe that's the key, just reorganization. Then the only thing I think we need to add in that I saw was the bilingual preferred.
Yes, ma'am. We go to the next one?
Any other questions, comments? Letty?
No.
All right, on the associate superintendency on page 39, we did rework this somewhat. It's in front of you. The associate superintendency has morphed in my mind over the course of the last 2 years. We, of course, have not had an associate superintendent for over 2.5 years in our district. Prior to that, we had one very steady. And when I got here, it was vacant. And I was rubbing my hands together, ready to bring on, you know, my number one. And it all went to heck with the budget. And at the time, I was really planning on bringing an associate in who was curricular, who was instructional, who was all about the academic side of the house. Because at the time when we were interviewing, and you guys were interviewing me, we were down on our graduation rate, down on our attendance rate, down on our tax scores, AYP. These were the major issues that were facing us. And over the course of the last 2 years, I'm proud to say, very proud to say, that this our legacy in this board that we have is that we have really turned around that area. No, it's not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but we've reconstructed the entire curriculum department, hired a great executive director, given her staff, brought on PLCs, and done fantastic work on the testing, and Kate with our five-year plan, and so things are moving forward, and it is an area that we are doing great, and we have a recognized status for the first time in 10 years. So I don't need an associate superintendent for curriculum. I don't need someone that is that academic side. We have that. What we need, and I hear you guys up there whispering, we have our problems in this district are on the operational side. They're in the facilities. They're in the bus barn. They're in the departments at central office. They're in everything from our finance to human resources to IT to facilities. It's in these areas that we need to. It's in these areas that we are in the same spot in some of them where we were with academics 2 years ago. And just as we're now pleased with where we got with academics, we need to do the same calisthenic with our departments and our divisions. And I think bringing on an associate superintendent who is well-versed in these areas, who has experience with school finance at the district level, who has experience running facilities, types of school facilities and operations, who has had experience working with IT and tech and budgets and these things. That is the type of associate superintendent that I intend to bring to you to really shore up the other side of the house so that we bring them both together in excellence. And that's how we've written this. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Rose? Dr. Murphy, what's your feeling as far as this individual you're looking at? I've heard a lot of concern from the principals as far as they don't feel like they have support from the executive directors because the experience at a campus level for administration is not there. I've heard it from several principals. They feel that the only one that can pretty much understand is Annette. I mean, that's what I've heard. So that's why I'm asking you, what is your feeling as far as that goes? Because you know, to be an administrator at a campus level, it's completely different.
Sure.
An administrator
I did it for
up here.
11 years.
And so you need something.
I'm there too,
that.
You know. And,
yeah. You need something to relate to that.
And I will contend. And in this setup, my initial thought is that I will still remain the boss of the principals. That I still will be the line authority with the principals. The associate will serve as chief of staff. So of course he'll have authority, or she will have authority. But I will maintain that line. I also want to maintain control of human resources and the hiring, bringing on the curriculum and the teachers and all of that. And then the other person, the associate, if it, you know, and we'll just have to see how they fall in, but they would handle those other things.
Madam Chair.
Just a quick comment. I think one of the things that we need to look at, all areas need improvement when it comes to a district.
Absolutely.
I'm not seeing, you know, curriculum's made some improvements, but there still needs to be a lot of strife, especially in secondary when you're going through the high school and other. So I think you need to look at that critically because it's all areas. It's not just facilities, finance. It's we need to make sure that the whole district moves, especially in the curriculum area. I don't want to, you know, depending on what happens in the next year, if I serve another term, I don't want to be here another 3-4 years and saying, you know what, what's going on with the damn high school hasn't gone here.
Well, absolutely, but I think we have the team to do that. We have the team in place.
I'm just saying, and all areas need improvement, so it's not, we're not stellar in one area, from what I see.
Well, we've made recognized for the first time in 10 years.
Under the previous system, which we have a new system that's...
Right. But I guess what we're talking about here is we're talking about the organizational structure. And I think we have the organizational structure in place to keep going on our improvements with the curriculum and with the instruction. We don't have the organizational in place become stellar in the other areas.
But what you just heard Ms. Casada saying, and I've heard it too, is there's no support. Yeah, we're doing some good stuff in the administrative area and all that, and we're seeing some gains. the communication there, and you know, I mean, it's just looking at it at an open, and I know you will, an open opportunity to see where we can make sure our district grows in the right direction.
Well, I if you look at the job description itself, we do ask that it'd be great if they were an administrator in the schools already. I'd love to get a former principal. I would absolutely love it. That would be a high thing on a resume to have that. But I also don't want to cut out somebody. I know some fantastic people who haven't had that, you know, so it just depends. But absolutely, if they bring that to the table, that's a fantastic addition. But I appreciate what you're saying, Mr. Rodriguez, about academics still ain't all that. Boy, goodness, if we could have our departments and our divisions running as good as our academics right now, we'd be far and ahead. And that's where I want to get across the board. And I think an associate with that type of experience and that type of expertise is really going to assist us.
So what is it? Do we need to approve this, or is mm-hmm. this?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't think you approve job descriptions. I'm asking for comments and suggestions. Maybe there's something on here you want me to add to get to that, what you're saying.
Any further comments? Letty?
Was there a time when the board approved job descriptions?
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know what happened. It was back in the 90s. Yes, we used to approve the job descriptions.
Well, if y'all want to make a motion and approve,
no, I'm just asking.
But yeah, it was done, and I don't know when it quit.
Do we have possible action, Tony?
Yeah,
there's possible action.
I have a question I forgot to ask. How fast are we going with the executive director? What's the timeline? If we get salary candidates,
we'll go as quickly as we can. Post tomorrow. We posted, just for your information, Martha, today, posted the high school principalship. The job description did not change. She posted the elementary principalship at JDE. The job description did not change. And, of course, the internal auditor is up. Yeah. And then these two, if we move forward, will be posted tomorrow.
For your associate superintendent, are you going to advertise outside of El Paso also?
Yes, we're planning on posting the four jobs of the three jobs of the associate superintendent, the high school principal, and the elementary principal statewide.
Is everybody okay with that? Any comments, any additions to the description? No? Everybody's happy?
You know,
go forth and find some dynamite.
Let me say one last thing, because I hear chatter back here. I need help too. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting down my divisions, my cabinet. Everybody works so hard. I'm thrilled. We have a great team. We have a great leadership team. And I look forward to coming to work every day to work with these wonderful people. And they do their level best, and their staffs do as well. And my office also needs assistance. I also stand in need of somebody who can come on and give this type of help to my office as well. So the whole notion of getting a number one, an associate superintendent, is to be that right-hand man of the superintendent or woman to assist in all these areas, and I need help too. So I just want to say that I'm in need as well. We're all in need. And I have gotten to the point where I want this. You know, for a long time, I got to the point where I didn't want this. I wanted to save the money. This is about a $200,000 expense, just for your information, because we hire a secretary, we have a budget. He'll probably want a new chair, that sort of thing.
Where are you planning?
We'll put him where Gustavo is now. We'll reopen that office, and then we'll have to replant Gustavo somewhere. And... But I've gotten to the point where I think we need it. So.
Okay. Go find it.
All right.
With that, and no action taken, but that one...
You know what? Just a real quick comment. It would be good to, I don't know, lead PE.
I'm the executive director.
I mean, it's not a requirement, but it's kind of...
Like a
where we're
desire.
All starting to go lead, and we're trying to do energy and stuff like that, but...
Lead. Didn't you hear all those architects tell us lead was not...
They say they follow them, but they don't want to do all the work for lead.
And that it's expensive.
Do you want it to be PE, or do you want to just be competent, understanding of lead principles? Or
something like that.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Board. Thank you, Cabinet.
I think we can go home.
We got another meeting.
Oh! We can't go home. We can adjourn, though.
Letty can't go home. I can.
No, you sit in.
Yes, I want to adjourn.
Okay, with that, we'll adjourn. And Letty, it's your turn.
Let's go home.
With Miss Fierro not being here, it's...
She's going to cover, but...
Oh.
Annette is prepared.